Do you feel a connection to Jean Genet? I mean, in a way, you're his stepmother.
That's very interesting. Yeah, and the more I know about her, the more I hear about her. What a fun child. John tells me hilarious and sweet little stories about her. And I can see through her photos that have been through so many of his personal photos of her that it's absolutely true. This child, every photo that I've seen of her with another child, she has her arm around the other kid, smiling. And she was obviously had real, maybe leadership, and certainly a great dynamic personality for a little girl her age. I have one of her little gloves sitting on my desk and little pictures of her here and there. Not long after we were married, I had a very poignant dream that she was had a little black nightgown with red roses, and she was dancing in the hallway. And she came and curled up in my arms, and I just rocked her, and I looked at her face, and she looked like a little sweet baby doe. And it was a sweet, long, touching dream. I wish I could have given it to John.
Welcome to episode 12 of The Killing of Jean Benet, The Final Suspects. I'm your host, Danielle Robay. The voice you just heard was that of Jan Ramsey, wife of Jean Benet's father, John, after investigations that have seen us take a deep dive into late lead detective Lou Smith's database of suspects for the murder. In this final, special episode, our team is going to meet up with John and Jan Ramsey, as well as John's son, John Andrew, to discuss just what progress we've made and what more can still be done.
Well, we have news. We have gotten back the DNA reports on Rick Gardner, and he was in one of the earlier episodes. We brought him up as being a possible suspect. So Rick Gardner was a suspect because he worked at Pasta J's. And later on, he had visions of Jean Benet coming up from the sidewalk, and he accused his employer, Jay Alowski, of the murder. But his handwriting became of interest and focus, so he became a suspect. And for years now, decades, he's remained on the suspect list, and he was on Lou's spreadsheet, so we decided to go after him. Doug and I went to his house. He graciously allowed us to take DNA samples and send them off for testing. So the DNA results took a while to get back, but they're in, and I'm going to call him up and give him the results of that test. Hello, Rick?
Hello, yes.
Hi, Rick.
Hi.
It's Jameson.
Hey.
Okay, so I'm calling to give you news that's not going to be a surprise to you, but I hope it makes you happy. Your DNA was tested, and it came back that you're not a match for the DNA that was found on Jean Benet's clothing or in her body. So
yes.
You can, if anybody ever calls you and says you're a suspect, you can tell them, no, you're not. And I'm going to make that very public on the internet.
All right. Yeah, I'm grateful for that. You know, this is good news.
It is good news. I hope you're glad that you went along with my little experiment.
Yeah. That was useful.
Well, I think it is, because this is going to be a mystery for a long time, it seems. And I don't want to have all these people's names hanging out there as possible suspects when it can be so easy to take them off.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I appreciate that.
So how's everything going with you?
Yeah, I'm doing well. Thank you.
It's good. I'm really glad. And thank you for opening your doors to me and my Dougs, and for going along with the experiment, although I think it was a really good decision on your part, because it means that you can forever be taken off that suspect list. And that's a bad place to be.
Yes. That's very true. Yeah.
Okay, and I will keep your number. You've got mine. If you need to call me, you know where I am, okay?
Yes. Okay. Good.
Okay. All right. Bye, Rick.
All right. Bye, Jameson.
Doug Longini and Jameson dial in to the Ramseys in Colorado.
Hello.
This is Doug Longini.
Oh, hey, Doug. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you this morning?
Good.
Is Jan there too?
Hi, Doug.
Hey, Jan. And I'm on the phone here with Jameson.
Hey, Jameson.
Good afternoon.
And John Andrew is on here with us.
Hey, guys.
One of our strongest leads, and a name high on Lou Smith's list, was Cameron Henderson, whose stepmother, Sandra, had been fired from John Ramsey's company, Access Graphics, after embezzling over $100,000 from the firm. Doug fills the Ramseys in on his encounter with first Clay Henderson, Cameron's brother, and then Cameron himself.
John Andrew and I made an effort to talk to Clay Henderson and Cameron Henderson. They described a pretty rocky relationship with their stepmother, Sandra.
Yep.
I didn't think either of those guys would raise a finger, let alone kill a little girl.
Yeah.
What surprised me was, and I think it surprised John Andrew, that we were the first people to ever talk to him. What do you think of that?
That's absolutely incredible. That was so interesting. And looked bad for the Boulder police, too.
And eventually, I catch up to Cameron getting out of his car, unloading some stuff. It was a very warm day, like a 70-degree day in Denver and in the winter. And he'd just come back from hitting some golf balls. And he couldn't have been more friendly. And his only thing, if you heard that, but it was he would take a DNA test if the state, which he meant the police or DA, asked him.
I don't blame him, yeah.
He seemed very credible to me.
I love solving puzzles. That's what true crime is to me, after all, just one big puzzle. When I want to take a break from the dark stuff, though, I like to lighten up my puzzle time with Best Fiends. Best Fiends is a puzzle game where every level feels like uncovering a new layer in a story, one you get to take part in. I love that the game is challenging while not being frustrating. The best part for me is when I have to choose the fiends I want on my team for each level. I have to make sure I'm playing the best fiends possible based on their skill sets, and since every level is different, it requires me to choose wisely for every challenge. The more I play, the more fun it gets. Plus, you don't need the internet to play, so anytime I want a little entertainment, Best Fiends is my go-to. Best Fiends has thousands of levels already, with new levels, events, and characters added every month. It's hours of fun right at your fingertips, and you can even play online. With over 100 million downloads and tons of 5-star reviews, Best Fiends is a must-play. Download Best Fiends free on the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R. Best Fiends.
Our attempts to secure a DNA sample that would conclusively rule Cameron Henderson out of the investigation were not successful. But Doug Longini believes he should no longer be considered a suspect, and Cameron did say he would willingly submit to a police DNA swab. Going forward, it may be time for a different approach. Something Doug had previously discussed with Lou Smith's daughter, Cindy Mara.
We also knocked on other people's doors, I did, to ask them for DNA, and I didn't get a very welcoming reception. I think because, you know, if I came to your door and said, hey.
I thought Cameron was as gracious as he could be, considering somebody came up to his door.
Yeah. And so we had a little discussion about that. Following those meetings, I met with Cindy Mara's group on a Sunday following those meetings. And I said, you know, I just don't think knocking on somebody's door cold, it didn't do very much.
Yeah.
And my number one thing was that if I was to give feedback from this, it was the cheapest, least burdensome method was to try to contact the people ahead of time. Of course, they don't have to respond because either they're going to give you the DNA or not, or Cindy's group is going to try to get it another way.
Right.
But I don't think that's enough of a warning. Oh, my God, they're out there. I'm going to hide. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could make an argument that I'm wrong.
Well, they did that, you know, there are particular interests at that point.
Yeah. But I showed up like at two people's homes out in Denver area and their wives answered and you know, it didn't go so well because it was like, you know, what are you doing here? What they're insulted at first. You know, how could we be sure on the list? How could that be 23 years later? How could that possibly be? What are you talking about? And, you know, also people of a certain means who have means can also be difficult. So, John Andrew should chime in here that a lot of mental thought had gone into the two Henderson brothers for a very long time. I'm not a trained homicide detective, so I can't clear those two brothers like, you know, oh, I talked to him and I, you know, blah, blah. But it did help to actually speak to them, you know.
Yeah. They were all interesting guys.
So, and let me go through one more person that I thought, Ted Cohen. He's deceased. He died in 2002. As you know, he'd been arrested for lascivious behavior, fondling teenage girls who were at his modeling agency. And he had been big in the pageant industry. He had an airplane available to him. I don't know if he ever got to any of your daughter's pageants, but I am going to ask his son if he would give DNA to Cindy's group. And that would be helpful. We'll see what he says.
As we heard last time, Doug Longini and John Andrew have also made contact with Richard Eichelenboom, a scientist at the cutting edge of DNA profiling techniques. Doug briefs John and Jan on some of the exciting possibilities he outlined.
John Andrew and I last week had a pretty interesting conversation with Richard Eichelenboom about DNA. Has John Andrew filled you in on any of that?
A little bit.
He made a point that they should try to get a sample of the foreign DNA not mixed in with your daughter's DNA. Mm-hmm. And he said, which I didn't realize, that at least for familial comparisons, you have to have what he referred to as a clean sample or a clean profile, not a mixed profile. And he felt that there were enough pieces of evidence that you should be able to get that.
Yeah.
And that sounds like a reasonable approach, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And that's why Eichelenboom said that there's hundreds of articles of evidence that were in storage that haven't been tested yet. It's time to take some out look at the DNA.
Man, oh, man, that would be huge if they would do it.
For Jan Ramsey, continuing the fight to find JonBenet's killer means not simply trusting the authorities to keep digging, but pushing them to keep the murder investigation a high priority.
Sometimes an idea like this comes glaring, like, whoa, why didn't we think of that a long, long time ago?
Well, we did, but the problem is getting the police to do it.
I think people just dropped the ball. I mean, instead of going to the next level and digging a little bit deeper, I think people dropped the ball. It didn't go knock on doors. I mean, I was amazed at how many people said, well, nobody asked me anything.
My number one thought is it would be really good if we could just put a nice, simple, compelling spreadsheet together. And then if John would be willing to get with the right people and present it to the right people, I think you got to head this up.
Well, I mean, I obviously will do anything I need to do and can do. It's just what's going to be the most effective. There's probably still people in the police department that think I'm the number one culprit.
Over 23 years after he found the broken body of his little girl in his basement, the burden still seems to be on John Ramsey to prove his own innocence and find who was really responsible for her death. And perhaps, ironically, the greatest hope for a breakthrough in this case might now come from the very institution that seemed so keen to pin the murder of JonBenet on him in the first place, the Boulder Police Department.
So, you know, a recent development within the last week really is the announcement that a new police chief has been named for Boulder, and that's Maris Harold. And she's coming from outside the organization, which is hugely encouraging. She's from Ohio, and she was recently appointed the new chief of police.
Yeah, what do you know about her?
Well, just what I've read in the paper, that she came from Ohio, I think Cincinnati, and was focused on sex crimes and that type of thing. I don't know in what role, but she just sounded very credible. And to me, the significant thing was that they finally brought someone in from the outside to run that department. In fact, if someone came from the outside and hasn't been brought up in that culture, could be a very significant plus.
But I think somebody needs to get her to pay attention to us and our work. She becomes indoctrinated by the people that are still there that were there 23 years ago.
Yeah, I think it's a new day in Boulder. For, you know, 23 years here, we've been dealing really with the same cast of characters. There's been three police chiefs. They've, you know, all been there since day one. Greg Testa, who, you know, retired in August, had been there for 30 years. The groupthink within the Boulder Police is well established. I think the city manager realized that, you know, they needed to bring somebody in from the outside to address the problems of the department. And JonBenet's murder is just one piece of that problem. There's a reason they didn't hire from within. You know, let's see if we can't restart this, breathe some life into it, and get these guys tracking.
The advances in DNA technology from Europe, plus the imminent arrival of a new chief of police in Boulder, are both very promising. For John and Jan Ramsey, it's an opportunity that has to be seized.
Would they track into the DNA area? Would you like to see the new chief think about that?
Yeah, I would. I think take advantage of the technology that's evolved in the DNA world. Take advantage of the untested items that were taken from the crime scene and see if we can get some DNA and apply the latest technology to it and see what we get. That's fairly easy. The familial testing, as I understand it, has yielded significant results in some of these old cold cases, but it's a lot of work and takes a lot of time to basically develop a family tree going backwards, or forward rather, I guess you'd look at it. But step one, if they would apply new technology to items that haven't been tested, that would be very significant, I think, and it would be foolish not to do it.
If I'm an executive coming into this, I've got a problem. I need a map on how to get myself out of it. And, you know, we've laid out some pretty clear steps on how to move this case forward, right? And the answer's in DNA.
I'm wondering, how many items do they have that would be worth testing?
Well, we know they took in a ton of evidence from the search warrant, the responses to the search warrant. We know they took a ton of stuff, but they have not determined which ones they need to check, like the rope in the bag that were found in John Andrews' bedroom. Nobody's ever said anything was checked there, but nobody recognizes that rope or the bag either. So I would be, I mean, you're going to have to look at a lot of the stuff they took and say, you know, it had nothing to do with anything. But the flashlight needs to be retested. The other items, I would say they've got to have dozens.
Yeah, Richard's outlined it, and it's you know, 30 plus. And a lot of these items are retesting it with more sensitive, you know, methods available today.
And Richard did work for the DA's office on JonBenet's case.
Interesting. I wonder if he'd be willing to help in a discussion with the new police chief.
I think he would. I don't want to speak for him, but I think he would.
Yeah. That'd be significant. The hope is now with new blood, a new leader from outside this culture, there's significant hope. And how do we get that to move?
I think you're the key.
Be glad to. First of all, if she doesn't even start till April, why, we can't go in there on the first day of her job. So we're probably looking at June, maybe.
Oh, yeah. Time like the present to say we'd like to get on your calendar.
Well, she's not even there yet.
Yeah. Be first in line if we could. Why not?
Well, maybe so.
And John Andrew has a message for all of those listening to this podcast. You too can play a part in bringing some long overdue justice in this case.
You know, this has been 23 long years, and somebody out there knows who did this. And to that person, this is not your burden. You should not carry this. We need you to come forward and give us the piece of information we need to get to this killer. Simple as that.
The fact that people are listening to this and are interested in my daughter's murder, I don't want JonBenet to be forgotten. Finding her killer is not going to bring her back, but it will get a very evil creature off the streets, if they're on the streets, and protect other children, and we would have some sense of closure, obviously. But if you have any information, regardless of how insignificant you think it might be, we would certainly appreciate receiving it, because all the pieces, it's like a jigsaw puzzle, and we're keeping all the pieces, and the more we can put it together, the closer we'll be to solving this.
It has been, for me, really, really disturbing to think that there are this many twisted, sick, malevolent people out there within a stone's throw of all of us. And as a mother, I'm going to encourage my grown daughters with children to be far more careful about who they expose their children to. This could be a wake-up call. If it's never solved, it could be a wake-up call for people to think twice about where you're allowing your children to go and associate with.
JonBenet's killer is still out there. But today we are closer than we have ever been to catching that person. And after all we've learned and all the progress we've made, tomorrow we may yet finally see justice for JonBenet.
We lost our daughter. That's the worst possible thing that could have happened to us. Anything that has happened in the aftermath pales by comparison.
Thank you for listening. Until next time, I've been your host, Danielle Robay, and this has been The Killing of JonBenet, The Final Suspects. The Killing of JonBenet, The Final Suspects is hosted by me, Danielle Robay. Executive produced by Dylan Howard and Matt Sprouse, and is a production of Broad and Water Studios and Endeavor Audio. Executive producers also include Tom Freestone, Doug Longini, Susan Bennett, James Robertson, and Andy Tillett. The series is written by Dominic Utten, reporting by Doug Montero. The series is mixed and engineered by Sean Kravitt and Sam Ada. If you have any information that could help our investigators and the Ramseys identify JonBenet's killer, please help us at tips@justiceforjohnbenet.com.